This is the State of Things from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. Thank you. Greensboro's mayor last night said she wants the city to take over the International Civil Rights Center and Museum. The museum has struggled financially since it opened 4 years ago, and leadership has also been a question. Last week, the museum's board fired the new executive director, Lacey Ward Jr., who had only been on the job for 6 months. The museum opened in 2010 in the old Woolworths building, where more than 50 years ago, four college freshmen from North Carolina A&T sparked a revolution when they staged a sit-in at the store's lunch counter. There was hope that the museum would be a bright attraction on the cultural landscape and bring hundreds of thousands of visitors to the city, but it has run annual deficits and missed yearly attendance projections every year since it opened. WUNC Greensboro Bureau Chief Jeff Tiberi has been following the story, and he joins us now. Welcome, Jeff Tiberi.
Hi, Frank.
Well, let's start with the latest news. Mayor Nancy Vaughn's remarks at a news conference last night that the city is prepared to or willing to, and in fact would like to, take over the museum.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is somewhat symbolic. I would be a little bit surprised if the founders of the museum, as well as the majority of the board, that's now a 25-person board, were to come back and say, oh, okay, here, have control of the museum. It's all yours. This is, I see it as the, you know, the first step in maybe a negotiation, maybe a fight, but that is where the mayor stands or has positioned herself at this point. You know, they did not vote on it. They didn't take any action on it last night, but Mayor Vaughn raised this issue in a meeting. The board of the museum has 30 days to consider it or vote on it or do something. It's important to remember, as you mentioned, the financial viability of this facility has not been good. The city had agreed to a $1.5 million loan back in February. The majority of that has been dispersed at this point. But I think one other way of looking at this is if the city says, we want control, we think you should give us control, and the museum says, nope, we're not giving you control, where does the museum go for funding if it does, in fact, need it again in the future?
And it owes $1.3 million on the $1.5 million, mm-hmm. and if it can't pay that back, it puts the city in the driver's seat. And you talked about a big board. Now, two members of that board are actually from the city, including the mayor.
Yes, that was part of the agreement of that $1.5 million loan. Nancy Vaughn, the mayor, the agreement states that whoever the mayor, whoever the city manager, in this case Nancy Vaughn and Jim Westmoreland, are on that board. They, you mentioned the firing of the executive director, Lacey Ward Jr., last week. Vaughn was not happy with that decision. So they are on this board. They don't have a majority, but they certainly have a pulpit.
So the board has tabled the question of whether or not to turn control over to the city. The mayor says she has absolute support on the city council. You talked to a city council member today. And got his idea, his take on where this should go from here.
You know, we've talked about this for 13, 14 months, if not 5 years, 10 years, and 20 years. I think it's finally coming to a head. I mentioned last year that the city should take ownership of it and redirect how it's managed. And I think this is the last lifeline. This is their only option. I think their other option probably is bankruptcy. And so we'll see what they choose.
That's Zach Matheny. He's a city councilman here, and a majority of the city council does stand with the mayor on this and would like to see a significant change, a change in leadership. It's interesting to note on the bankruptcy front, it would be a complicated path. This facility was funded in large part with tax credits, and those tax credits would require the facility to stay open for a period of time that it has not yet stayed open for. So if the museum was to go into bankruptcy, and those tax credits, as I understand it, as Zach also said to me this morning, would be, you know, null and void, and not the city, but likely, as I'm understanding it, Skip Alston and Earl Jones, the founders of the museum, would owe millions of dollars, $7 to $8 million, which, you know, just further complicates this whole scenario.
Well, let's talk about the founding of this museum, because the fact that the city doesn't control it now, the fact that this is not a kind of a city cultural venue, is really part of the story. The city and its residents have turned down the opportunity to take on this museum.
Twice. There was a bond referendum. We're going back 15, 20 years. This has been talked about for more than 20 years now. I want to say it took 16 or 17 years for it to finally get up and running. And, you know, it is, you mentioned the Woolworth lunch counter. The museum is in the building where this sit-in took place. This sit-in, which we should note, was a very important part of the civil rights movement and set off a revolution of sit-in movements across the Southeast. Within the sit-in movement taking place here on February 1st of 1960, there were I want to say something like 50 cities and 13 different states were participating in this. But yes, it came before the voters of Greensboro in two different referenda, and it was voted down both times. And, you know, the city has been asked for loans on multiple occasions before, and it had turned those requests down before. This was largely funded with private money. Last February, when things were, you know, previously looking shaky, that's when the city stepped forward and said, we will disperse this loan.
So tell us how the museum did finally get started and its founders, and a little bit about that story, because I think that's an important part of where the museum is today.
So Earl Jones and Skip Alston are both very well-known members of this community. They're both African-American, and they, you know, secured these tax credits, and together they have both held public office before. They went down the path of, you know, moving forward on this venture, but there, I think your question has always been a bit of a divide, and this has not, to me, ever felt like a venture that has been wholly accepted and wholly celebrated. And, you know, critics of this say they don't, white and black, but they say they don't feel particularly welcome, and they don't think that this is an open enough facility, that there aren't enough partnerships with local nonprofits and with the universities and the schools in town, and that it just hasn't ingrained itself as part of this downtown scene almost 5 years in.
It points to the political divide in the city and the way it is divided politically and racially along a sharp fracture so that the city can't get behind it. There's a lot of suspicion on both sides, and now there have been questions raised about the founders themselves and whether or not they profited from this. All of that is embroiled in this next these next steps going forward.
Right? Yes, it absolutely has. And you heard from Zach Matheny a moment ago, and some of the folks on the board, and at least one of the founders of the museum have said that his criticisms are racially motivated. And yes, the issue of race has come up time and time again with this facility, which on some level I guess is somewhat painfully ironic, because we're here because we're celebrating or hoping to celebrate the sit-in movement that fought to end desegregation and segregated lunch counters. And it's unfortunate, because this is a great part of the city's history. And that should be the focus. That should be the celebration. And as you mentioned off the top, it really should be a way, in theory, to bring in folks from all over the country to learn about that.
We are talking about the future for the Civil Rights Museum in Greensboro today on The State of Things. Jeff Tiberi is my guest. We are live from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage. The mayor, Nancy Vaughn, was talking about the leadership problems that have occurred. She was not at all happy with the firing of Lacey Ward, who had, as I say, had only been there 6 months. You talked with her as well, or she talked at a news conference. I guess here she is.
I would say it's one of disappointment. I think he was doing what needed to be done to get the museum in a better place. He was building relationships with the business community, the foundations, and, you know, things aren't going to change overnight, but I think he was putting those pieces in place.
It was part of your interview with the mayor, right?
Yeah, I spoke with the mayor a week ago, and you heard her there. She has she was fully behind this new executive director, Lacey Ward, and it's unclear why he was fired. Talking with people on background and talking with people who have been behind the proverbial doors, he crossed the old guard to an extent. He was reaching out perhaps too much. He was meddling with the board's activity, not something they liked, and they pushed him out. There was an interesting note in a newspaper article this morning that said Earl Jones, one of the founders of the board, had told the board recently that it has raised $540,000 in recent months. Now, I call an email out to Earl Jones. I have not talked to him directly yet. But that's a pretty interesting, if not provocative, statement, because if, in fact, the museum has raised $540,000 in private donations this year, that's as good, if not way better, than it has done on the fundraising side of things since it opened almost 5 years ago. And if, in fact, they did raise that money, why would you fire your executive director? And if you have raised that money, why are we hearing about it now in the midst of this controversy and a fight, so to speak? Wouldn't that be something that you have brought to the forefront earlier?
A lot of questions about whether that money truly has been raised, and of course finances were part of it, and then not really meeting any of the expectations. It was hoped that by now we'd see 200,000 people a year. We're barely scratching 55,000.
Right.
So
nowhere
leadership is
that.
Certainly a question in terms of how to bring more people to this museum and make it financially viable.
And some of it's the chicken and the egg. Right after Mayor Vaughn made that comment to me last week. She said, now we need to go find another executive director. And I, the mayor, I'm not so sure that we have the money to do that. So you need money to go get good leadership. You need money so that you can secure good rotating exhibits and, you know, not just have the same set of artifacts and story when folks come in. And right now, there doesn't seem or appear to be the money to do that and expand.
All right. We'll keep our eyes on this. WUNC Greensboro Bureau Chief Jeff Tiberi. Thank you very much, Jeff. Just ahead, we're going to hear about a program that is flipping prisons and turning them into sustainable farms. But first, the music of the cello and bass duo Low and Lower on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.